And welcome to The SWAT Show, this week coming to you from the big island of Hawaii. Now, firstly, let me tell you, The SWAT Show is a weekly 15-minute podcast which features practical, usable advice from the best triathletes, coaches, and experts from the world of triathlon so that you can get the most from your training time and maximize your enjoyment of the triathlon lifestyle. Now, I'm Simon Ward. I'm the founder of thetriathloncoach.com and the SWAT Inner Circle, the number one resource for performance-minded triathletes like you. And I've also created a free Facebook community called the Triathlon Coach Cafe. Now, as a special gift, you can get my best training strategies, which I've accumulated over 20 years of coaching and competing, and I've squeezed them into just 3 pages of content. And if you want that, hop along to our website, thetriathloncoach.com, or email triathlonsuccess to lucy@thetriathloncoach.com. Okay. Enough of me now. I want to introduce my special guests. I've flown all the way to Hawaii, not specially to meet them, actually. They just happen to be here as well. So we've met in the middle because they're based in New Zealand. So it's the...
The Plews and Prof.
The Plews and Prof, okay. Dan, Dr. Dan Plews, a native Yorkshireman, so clearly a world-class guy on its own. And Professor Paul Larson.
Yes, you got it.
Now
from
they're
Canada,
both...
actually, originally.
Yeah, so... Yeah. None of them are from New Zealand, actually, but they're based there.
So we're 2 Yorkshiremen and a Canadian.
In Hawaii. Yeah. Good. Could be a Monty Python sketch.
Could be, yeah.
But anyway, it's not going to be a Monty Python sketch. The reason I'm talking to these two guys today is because they're world experts in something you may have heard of being referred to as HRV, or heart rate variability. And tonight, in the next 15 minutes, I hope to be able to get to the bottom, or at least... get started unearthing why this technology is important for all of us in getting the most out of our training time. So let's launch into it. Let's pretend I know nothing about heart rate variability. Give me that elevator speech about what it is and why it's important for all athletes.
So heart rate variability is different. So most people can get confused between heart rate and heart rate variability. Heart rate variability basically measures the variation in the gap between each heartbeat. So if you think about when the ventricles contract and you can actually feel the heart beating, if you put your hand to your chest and you feel the heart beating, we're looking at the timing between each beat. So that could vary. It could be 1,000 milliseconds, and it could be 1,200 milliseconds, and it could be 800 milliseconds. So that's the variation in the difference between each beat.
So if I have if I'm sitting here now and I've got a resting heart rate of 60 beats per minute, it would be incorrect to say that there's a standard 1 second gap between each heartbeat. In fact, I understand that if there was an exact 1 second gap, that's quite dangerous.
Yeah, it's quite unhealthy for sure. And the heart variability research is used in a lot of all-cause mortality. So people who generally don't live as long have less variation in their heartbeats.
So if mine was exactly 1 second, yeah, I'd be pretty close
to
dying.
It'd be very bad.
Right.
At rest, but when you're exercising, it's more like a normal drum. But we'll get into that in more detail.
Got that. So why is this important then for athletes as a tool?
Well, it's important because it's giving insight into the function of your central nervous system. So that's your brain and your spinal cord. How is your brain and your spinal cord doing to, I guess, run all of the various systems of the body?
Okay.
The heart rate has a bunch of nerves that are connected to the central nervous system. One of the most important ones is called the vagus nerve, and it's giving insight into how your central nervous system is functioning. So how your systems of either fight or flight or rest and digest recovery is kind of going.
Okay. So
are you stressed or are you recovering? That's really what it's getting insight into.
Okay. Now, I remember listening to a talk once, Mike Stone, researcher in Colorado, strength and conditioning expert, talking about all stresses are cumulative. Stress can come from anywhere. It can come from being stuck in a traffic jam and being late for work. It can come from one hard run. It can come from several days of hard training. It can come from just having pressure because of deadlines.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
It means so many different forms. It could be self-induced almost that, you know, if you're beating yourself up over a certain sort of situation, emotional stress. There are so many different forms of stress. And I guess HRV is the potential to get insight in terms of how your body's handling that.
And I guess we didn't mention that the lots of people listening may now have heard of sympathetic and parasympathetic activity, and that's what heart irritability is essentially measuring. It's measuring parasympathetic activity, which is rest and digest, kind of your relaxation, more of a
recovered
state, and your sympathetic system, which is more of a fight or flight stressed response. And the two of them, they always work in conjunction with one another. So it's not like one's on, one's off. You have more of one than less of the other. So one's, yeah, they phase in and out of one another. So you'll have a bit of parasympathetic withdrawal, sympathetic activation, sympathetic withdrawal, parasympathetic activation. It's not like a light switch.
So the way I see it is we talk about pro athletes and full-time athletes. They really only have to concentrate on training and recovering. I know they have other stresses in their life, but they try to minimize those, lead quiet lives so that training is the focus. But for most of the people listening to this age group, as they've got a multitude of different things competing for time in their lives. And so it seems to me that this tool would almost be more important for them, because you can't divorce training from the rest of life. So you can't just batter on doing your 15 hours of swim, bike and run each week. You have to vary that dependent on the stresses that come from other parts of your life. And using heart rate variability, that should tell you whether you're able to do more training or less training. Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah, for sure. And that's certainly our area of research, and like my PhD focused purely on how to use heart rate variability to monitor training adaptation. But having said that, I really believe that people should measure heart rate variability even if you're doing no training. If you're a businessman or you're just, you know, you're trying to do a lot in your life, it's a great thing to measure to know where you are at as a normal person, right? And where, what's stressing you. And I've heard so many great stories of people who aren't training, but something's going wrong with them internally, or they're not getting enough sleep, or they're stressing out, and they have changes in the heart variability, and they actually know, you know, you can only manage what you measure is that expression. And I really think that anyone would benefit from measuring heart variability, not just athletes.
Well, here's a little anecdote on the side. There's this, I just came across this the other day, but there's a new $1 million research prize that's just been announced. And for the team, the research group that is able to demonstrate an improvement in longevity as demonstrated by an improvement in heart rate variability. So this, you know, this $1 million prize is actually basing human longevity on heart rate variability. So people are getting very confident that this is a, you know, a real important thing for us to measure for, not just, you know, in our elite athletes and whatnot and performance, but
also health and longevity.
Health and longevity.
Okay. So we've got the basics of it. How do we go about measuring this? Because I guess if we're not just measuring resting heart rate, it's not just a simple matter of putting two fingers on our wrist each morning and counting for 1 minute. Mm. We're probably going to need something a little bit more technological. So what are the simplest ways people can get started with measuring their HRV?
Yeah, well, I mean, HRV, yeah. If you look at the measures, I mean, when I started with my PhD, heart variability was still really complex, and it wasn't simplified. And if you look at the measures of heart variability, there's many, many measures. But fortunately now we're in a position where there's a lot of great people doing work in the area, and they've simplified it in the form of apps and other ways of measuring it. So
I guess, yeah, they started using electrocardiograms, right? Where you think of the person that's hooked up to a 12-lead ECG on a hospital bed, right? That's the typical thing. But now we've taken this out and we're using the same polar heart rate monitor straps that all of our triathletes are using. And now, and there's even one that uses the camera lens on your iPhone to monitor the blood flow and the heart rate variability measured through the finger. So they're really getting clever on making it very, very simple and practical for us to measure this now.
Okay, yeah. So you can measure it simply using your thumbprint or a chest strap, Bluetooth chest strap, I think, are the best ones, aren't they?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So then you're going to need you mentioned an app. So if there's a lot of apps, are there some that are better than others?
Yeah. I mean, I think for me, there's two that stand out. There's one that's called HRV for Training, which is really good for the kind of the PPG for the fingertip and the camera technology. And that's available on the iPhone. But also there's another one called Elite HRV, which they don't use the PPG, but PPG technology for the finger. They use heart rate strap. And they're really good, simple methods. And for me, they're definitely the two best.
The Elite HRV, I think that was the one you mentioned to me last year. So that's the one I've been using. Each morning, the alarm goes off. I have my heart rate strapped by the side of the bed. I put it on. I lie there for a little bit. I start up the app. It takes 2.5 minutes of me just slowly waking up, and it measures my data, and then it gives me a score.
Yeah.
So that's the thing is, do you remember when people used to say, I've got a higher heart rate than you, so that means I'm fitter, or, so.
Or more tired.
Or more tired, yeah, exactly, yeah. But we didn't really know what it was doing, so people would just look at their watch and go, hey, look at my heart rate, you know, without knowing what it meant. So we've got our app, we've got our heart rate chest strap or our thumbprint, and we've got some scores. So what we're looking for now, are we looking for absolute scores on a day, or are we looking for a trend over a period of days and weeks?
The apps, they actually give scores on a daily basis, which I'm still a little bit apprehensive about. I don't really truly believe. I believe that trends are and rolling averages and averages are the best way to look at it, but also in sync of the type of training you're doing at that time. So different types of training, you would expect different responses. So for your typical endurance athlete, your Ironman athlete, if they're under a heavy workload and they're adapting to that workload and it's a predominantly aerobic training stimulus, you would expect heart rate variability to go up.
So when you say heart, see, the Elite HRV gives you a score from 1 to 10. Yeah. So are you saying if we're expecting it to go up, we'd be getting scores closer to 9 and 10, and if we're doing less training or not adapting to it, they'd be going down closer to 4 or 5. Is that right?
Yeah, I think that's how the HRV, Elite HRV works, I believe. I mean, I always work in raw RMSSD numbers because I'm a bit more familiar with it, but I think that would be the same. I think Elite HRV have got some sort of a logarithm that just makes it into a simpler number.
Okay, so we know the basics, we've got the equipment, we've got the app, we've got the scores. But the more we're talking here, the more I'm thinking, oh, we're getting a lot more information and I don't really know how to assess this or what it's telling me. So am I getting more information that's making it more complicated for me? Or is there something simple I can do to track all this over a period of time and know that I'm improving?
Yeah, well, the apps, lots of the apps do that. I mean, the HRV for training, they actually have a coach app. And that's, for me, that has more ability to track trends. And that's what I think is the best. But with all these sorts of things, there's no silver bullet, and HRV is not a silver bullet. It's just another tool that can help you make a more informed decision into your own training. So if you're waking up in the morning and you're thinking, oh, I feel a bit tired, maybe I'm not that well, and your HRV can sometimes confirm that feeling. It'll save you from making a big mistake. And that's happened with a number of athletes, like leading up to the Olympics, I would change sessions a number of times. I'd look at the heart rate in the morning and I would see it doesn't look that great, but then I'd see them and I can see they're definitely not that great. So then I would make a decision to change it. Whereas sometimes I can look at the HRV and go, it might not be that great, but then I'll speak to them and I'll see that they're quite bubbly and normal. Then you'll make the whim and you'll go with the session if it's an important session. So yeah, it's not the silver bullet. It's just another tool in the toolbox to make a good decision.
So in the same way that we would have a power meter on our bike and we'd be pushing a certain number of watts, but on today, the watts are really killing me. You know, I'm in Hawaii, it's really hot and humid, I've not adapted to the climate, so pushing out 250 watts, I'm really struggling. Mm. Now, I get back to England and it's a more temperate climate that I'm used to, and 250 watts feels really easy. So what I'm using there is I'm using the data, the absolute data of the wattage, but I'm also using my perceived exertion. So I'm using two measures to tell me which one's better. So what you're saying here is if I use two measures, my own feeling for my body plus the data I'm seeing, then I'm going to be in a much better position.
Yeah, because you're reducing any uncertainty, and that's what you want. And I think that's the way that I would always, you talked about the race. I mean, from my own racing experience, I have a power meter, I have heart rate, I have feeling. And if I'm doing an Ironman, for example, I'm not just looking at power and going for the power. I'm looking at, okay, what's my heart rate at this power? How far am I from the end of the race? How does this feel? Can I maintain this? And what's, the power's right, the heart rate's high. And then you kind of make decisions based on a number of things rather than just one. So I know that's the same with any monitoring system or training system that you go for.
The other thing I was thinking is that, you know, you on the The one thing you're talking about, the power output, and that is like a measure of your external training load. But what the, so you might be actually, you know, who knows what you're putting out there, but how it, really important with the heart rate variability is how is your body responding to that power output that you've just put out? And, you know, you're not going to get that with a marker of power output. You do get that with heart rate variability when you measure it subsequently. How did my body respond to that additional stress that I put on, whether it was with heat or altitude or cold or et cetera.
Yeah. So. And I just, I mean, I just spent 2 weeks at altitude. I was with Tim Burkle just before I came to Hawaii. And, you know, the heart variability plummeted when I first got down there because I was just getting an additional stress, right? It took me a while. And every time Tim goes to altitude, I use it as a guide to know when I can kick back into some good training, because he'll go there, he'll have a plummeting heart variability, it'll be not that great for a week, but then gradually as he adapts to the altitude, it'll come back towards his normal levels, and then I'll say, okay, now we can start, you know, introducing a bit more intensity, and before that point, we'll just leave it low intensity, so.
Okay, you can go pretty deep on this stuff. I mean, you guys obviously go pretty deep because you're researching this stuff all the time, but there's a simple way of looking at this is, you sort of read through the manual for the app. You do your data on a regular basis. So you've got to be consistent with this, haven't you? So that the app itself builds up a database. Yeah.
And I believe you should.
Yeah, and that HRV for training, it gives you a decision on a day, but that day, that decision isn't based solely on heart variability. You answer a number of metrics. So how are you feeling this morning? What was your sleep like? What was your training like yesterday? And then it gives you a green light, red light, amber light based on a number of factors, not just what your heart variability is doing. And it also asks you even what the training you did the day before. So, and that's the way it should be used. If you just look at heart variability on a whim and give a decision, that's not as good a way of doing it as using a number of metrics. And that's when HRV for training does that. I'm not sure about elite HRV.
So the thing I've noticed is there'll be some times when I get up, wake up in the morning and my score won't be that great, and it's suggesting that perhaps I have an easy day. But then when I've got up, I'm actually not feeling that bad. I don't feel weary. I'm not sort of yawning. I don't need 3 litres of coffee to get me going. So I'll go to the pool and I'll be having this figure in the back of my mind and thinking, well, it's told me I should take it easy, so let's see what happens in the warm-up. And in the warm-up, I feel all right in the water. I'm not breathing hard. My technique's okay. It feels easy. So I start the first few reps and actually my body's responding okay. So I carry on. But then on another day, I get in and I'm feeling rubbish. You know, the warm-up's feeling hard. And so I decide either to just do some drills or I pack in and go home.
Yeah.
But it's, you've got to do a bit of manual labor here, haven't you? You can't just rely on the data. You've got to listen to your body. And
oh, totally. And listen, yeah. I would always listen to your body first and foremost. So yeah, that's number one. But when both the heart rate variability and your perceived fatigue or whatever it might be are lining up at the same time, and you're getting consecutive days of poor readings and consecutive days of not feeling well, then it's clear that you need to make a change, and that's when it's very, very useful, because it just gives you that that added confirmation that you need to make a change in your training.
Yeah, and in that case that you just made, you know, the example you just made with the swimming, if you got up and you were feeling really bad, you weren't feeling that great, you did your heart variability, and you also was that gave you the same response, you could have saved yourself a trip to the pool. You could have stayed in bed,
yeah,
and not even bothered going to the pool. And then how much better would that? That's a better result, right? Mm. Because otherwise, you probably would have gone, oh, I'll see how I feel when I get there, you know. And then you get there, and it's a crap session, and then you wasted your time going there. You've missed out on sleep. And it's not as good. So I think it, you know, that's a good example of how it can be quite effective.
But we all know what triathletes are like, is if it's on the program, I've got to do it, yeah, right? Because the coach said it or the coach wrote it. So in terms of smart training, the number one rule in smart training is listen to your body.
Yeah.
But now we've got something like teacher there going, I told you so, you know, listen to your body. So this is the confirmation that your body's right.
Yeah, well, I think the astute coach in the future is going to get a good handle on this sort of thing. And this is going to be an extra tool in their toolbox that they're going to be able to use alongside what they're already using to be able to help tweak training programs, right? And that's why, you know, both Jason and Marco with the Elite HRV and the HRV for training, they have a coach version of their heart rate variability thing. So coaches can use these and have a number of different athletes that are on these on their coaching apps, so they can get a complete look at their entire group of athletes.
Okay, so probably most people listening to this are going, this is just one more thing I've got to think about. So is this a stayer or is this a fad?
Well, it's a stayer for me. I'll always use it. I mean, it's a part of what I do as, I guess, either training athletes myself or assisting others to train athletes. It's a marker of internal training load. It's a marker of your own longevity, health, and I always believe, you know, you understand what matters and measure what matters. And this is, to me, this lines up as something that matters.
And now it's just so simple to do. It's no hassle. You can do it with your finger on an iPhone in a minute in the morning when you first wake up. You know, and if that's giving you an insight into your health, longevity, and performance, well, why would you not?
Why wouldn't you do it?
Yeah, why wouldn't you do it? Yeah.
Okay. And the important thing you've mentioned there, not just training, but you've talked about health and longevity. For me, for you guys, from the majority of people who are going to be listening to this, sport is their hobby. It's a release. It's some enjoyment, but it's not their living or their livelihood. And their fathers and, you know, husbands and wives and, you know, children, work colleagues. So it's all about having a healthy lifestyle, really. So then we can enjoy our training more.
That's right.
And if this is going to help give us a healthier lifestyle, then for me, it's a stayer.
Yeah, for sure. And you can use it to tweak other aspects of your life that will help with the heart variability, like sleep and rest and
diet.
Yeah, loads of stuff, yeah.
Okay, and this is probably a subject for another call, but you can experiment with different things. You can change different foods. You can experiment with sleep patterns, with the way you get up in the morning, whether you need a sort of like a huge great big bell waking you up or a soft tone. And some of those will give you different results on here. So experimenting with different things will give you different results and lead you down the path of what's working for you and what's not.
That's right.
Yeah. It all comes down to you can't manage what you don't measure. So same aspect.
Spoken like a true scientist.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, right. So that's the prof and plus. So these guys, the blues and prof.
Come on.
We're gonna finish now before we get into an argument about who gets top billing on this. So I'm gonna let those guys tell you where you can find out a bit more about them, because I'm not the expert on this, they are. And if you want to find out the truth about this sort of stuff, then you're probably best going to them, not me. So where can people find you?
Yeah, so we've actually just launched a website that's www.plusandprof.com. And that's and I guess our aim is that we want to do things like this. We want to educate the masses. We want to help the masses when it comes to athletes, coaches, A-type personalities, just living a long, healthy life, really.
Yeah.
You can subscribe and sign up and be part of our online community. And we aim to, you know, just educate, really, and help.
Yeah, and we've got a decent background in terms of our, you know, our experience as academics, practitioners, loads of publications as scientists, but working within the New Zealand Olympic program for 7 years. And
we've done a bit of triathlon.
Just a
little bit.
I was 44th, I think, last year in the Ironman. So we think we have lots to offer, and we'd love to share a little bit about share what we know with everyone.
Okay, so there it is, theplusandprof.com.
Plusandprof.com.
Plusandprof.com.
No, the.
That's his Twitter handle, the plus. Okay, plusandprof.com. All right, well, in the interests of health and longevity, we've got a bit more wine to drink. So from Hawaii, we're going to say mahalo for listening, and we'll be back soon with another podcast. See you guys. Thanks for being here.
Good night. Thank you.